Today is the fifth day of May. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is a joy to be here with you today as we gather yet again around the global campfire and just be here in this oasis of peace and let God speak through the scriptures into our lives. And our next step forward leads us to where we left off, and that leads us back into the book of Judges. We will conclude the book of Judges today and move forward into the book of Ruth today. We began the final story of the book of Judges yesterday, a story that is a dark one that tells of civil war in Israel, where all of the tribes gather together to confront profound injustice and murder, but the Benjaminites will not give up the perpetrators, and so they stand in the way of justice, and that leads to war, and a lot of people are destroyed, and the tribe of Benjamin is virtually annihilated. So there are 600 Benjaminites hiding at a place called the Rock of Rimmon. And that's all that's left of them. And that's where we pick up the story. Judges, chapter 21. Now the men of Israel had sworn at Mizpah, "No one of us shall give his daughter in marriage to Benjamin." And the people came to Bethel and sat there till evening before God. And they lifted up their voices and wept bitterly. And they said, "Oh, Lord, the God of Israel, why has this happened in Israel, that today there should be one tribe lacking in Israel?" And the next day the people rose early and built there an altar and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. And the people of Israel said, "Which of all the tribes of Israel did not come up in the assembly to the Lord?" For they had taken a great oath concerning him who did not come up to the Lord to Mizpah, saying, "He shall surely be put to death." And the people of Israel had compassion for Benjamin, their brother, and said, "One tribe is cut off from Israel this day. What shall we do for wives for those who are left, since we have sworn by the Lord that we will not give them any of our daughters for wives?" And they said, "What one is there of the tribes of Israel that did not come up to the Lord, to Mizpah?" And behold, no one had come to the camp from Jabesh Gilead to the assembly. For when the people were mustered, behold, not one of the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead was there. So the congregation sent 12,000 of their bravest men there and commanded them, "Go and strike the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead with the edge of the sword, also the women and the little ones. This is what you shall do. Every male and every woman that is lain with a male you shall devote to destruction." And they found among the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead 400 young virgins who had not known a man by lying with him. And they brought them to the camp at Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan. Then the whole congregation sent word to the people of Benjamin, who were at the Rock of Rimmon, and proclaimed peace to them. And Benjamin returned at that time, and they gave them the women whom they had saved alive of the women of Jabesh Gilead, but they were not enough for them. And the people had compassion on Benjamin, because the Lord had made a breach in the tribes of Israel. Then the elders of the congregation said, "What shall we do for wives for those who are left, since the women are destroyed out of Benjamin?" And they said, "There must be an inheritance for the survivors of Benjamin, that a tribe not be blotted out from Israel. Yet we cannot give them wives from our daughters." For the people of Israel had sworn, "Cursed be he who gives a wife to Benjamin." So they said, "Behold, there is the yearly feast of the Lord at Shiloh, which is north of Bethel, on the east of the highway that goes up from Bethel to Shechem, and south of Libonah." And they commanded the people of Benjamin, saying, go and lie in ambush in the vineyards and watch. If the daughters of Shiloh come out to dance in the dances, then come out of the vineyards and snatch each man his wife from the daughters of Shiloh, and go to the land of Benjamin. And when their fathers or their brothers come to complain to us, we will say to them, grant them graciously to us, because we did not take for each man of them his wife in battle. Neither did you give them to them, else you would now be guilty. And the people of Benjamin did so, and took their wives according to their number from the dancers whom they carried off. Then they went and returned to their inheritance and rebuilt the towns and lived in them. And the people of Israel departed from there at that time, every man to his tribe and family, and they went out from there, every man to his inheritance. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And that is a fitting way for the book of Judges to end, because that is one of the main points that it is trying to communicate to us as we've read the book of Judges. Which now brings us to chapter one of a new book, and this is the book of Ruth, and this couldn't come at a better time. After moving through the book of Judges and all of the back and forth and seesawing and extremes and rebellion and the challenging of the leadership and the judges rising at critical moments, Ruth is a totally different kind of story. Let's look at it as a nice May breeze blowing in and blowing out the clouds and bringing us into new territory. Ruth is predominantly a story about three different people, two women and one man, who chose to do the right thing despite the bitterness that life had brought their way. And this book shows us that when people who have character make correct decisions, like a very different story than the one we just came out of. When people of character make good choices, God's faithfulness is in it. And Ruth also gives us just one of the most beautiful portraits of valiant women of character that we find in the Bible. So Ruth is the name of the book. Ruth is one of the characters. Her mother-in-law is named Naomi. And because of their faithfulness, Israel's second king, King David, would be born. And it's through the line of David that Jesus would come. So let's take a deep breath in. And let's let it go out as we begin Ruth chapter 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephratites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there, but Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. And she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband, Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." And they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. John 4 4 through 42. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman. But no one said, What do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, Come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? They went out of the town and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, Has anyone brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say, There are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. Psalm 105, 1 through 15. Tell of all his wondrous works. O give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgment he uttered. O offspring of Abraham, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant that he made with Abraham, his sworn promise to Isaac, which he confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, To you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance. When they were few in number, of little account, and sojourners in it, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people, he allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked things on their account, saying, touch not my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. Proverbs 14, 24 and 25. The crown of the wise is their wealth, but the folly of fools brings folly. A truthful witness saves lives, but one who breathes out lies is deceitful. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for every day, every moment that we have had together as we have navigated this far into the year and all that you have revealed and shown us. We are grateful. We are thankful. And we are eager and looking forward to all that you have yet to do inside of us as transformation takes place. And so as we transition from Judges and move into Ruth at the time of the Judges, Holy Spirit, come. Let us drink deeply of this story and all of the territory that is in front of us, we ask, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That's home base. No matter where we are in the world, if we have a computer, that'll get us to home base. Also, the Daily Audio Bible app is available from whatever app store is connected to your device. Just search for Daily Audio Bible and you can put that app. It's a free app. Just put it on your device and it brings everything into one nice package. So check that out. And while you're checking out, check out the different sections, like the initiatives section, the community section, the Daily Audio Bible shop. Check it out. Maybe there are some resources available that will be a companion for the next season or step in your life. And if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if being around the global campfire as a community each day and knowing that we show up for each other each day, if that is life-giving to you, then thank you humbly for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, DAB. This is Bimbola from Nigeria, but I'm in the U.S. at this moment. I'm calling to pray for Stuart from Phoenix and Arizona, who is starting a new life after incarceration. And I use him as a point of contact for as many as are looking up to God. I want to say that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or imagine. He can do much more than you can imagine. I want you to ask him, tell him what you want. Miracle jobs, miracle opportunities, miracle healings. I heard the lady who had multiple strokes and is blind now. I declare that you are healed in Jesus' name. God can do anything. Just believe him. No matter how many we are, he wants to bless us. Thank you, Brian and the team. You are such a blessing to this generation. I love you. I love you. I love DAB. You keep me going. God bless you.
Good morning, Dabbers. It's Morning Star from Canada calling. And I just want to call in today. Over the last few days, I really had our brother, I can't remember his name, but he is from South Sudan. And he calls in often to pray with all of us. And as I've followed our current news stories I certainly have had him on my mind, and the Lord has just brought him to my thoughts so often. And I just want to pray for you today, brother. And so, Father, I just pray for our brother from South Sudan. I pray, Lord, that you would surround him with your presence, your peace, and your hope, Lord, hope for a future. You know the plans that you have for us, Lord, and you are in control of even the most difficult and what would seem dark seasons, Father. You are the one that is still on the throne. And Lord, we lift up other dappers in other parts of the world. Father, we ask that you would be with them in the midst of conflict, that you would be with them in the midst of trouble. Father, you are an ever-present help in time of trouble. So, Lord, we just pray for dabbers around the world today, Lord, that you will bless them, that you will keep them, that you will cause your face to shine upon them, Lord, and that you would give them great peace. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So, Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the dabbers around the world. We thank you for Brian and Jill and the family. Just be with us all today in Jesus.
Good morning, DAB family. This is Saved by Grace in California. And I just want to lift up the sister who called in and requested prayer for herself. Her body became septic and her organs began to shut down. She's currently blind. She also expressed a need for prayer for her children, who one is incarcerated and the other wants to take her life at times. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just lift my sister up to you, Father God, and I pray for divine intervention in each one of these situations that she's calling about, God. I ask that you continue to encourage her, to reinforce with her, Father God, that she's not alone, that you are there with her. I pray for healing, Father God. I pray that your healing power would touch her from the very top of her head to the very soles of her feet, Father God. Let your healing power penetrate to each and every organ, that they would function the way you created them to function, Father God. Bring restoration to them. Increase circulation in each one of them, Father God. Open her eyes, just like the blind man Bartimaeus, Father, just as you opened his eyes. Open her blind eyes, Father God. I pray for her son, Father God, that he would come to know you in a very intimate and personal way. I pray for her daughter, Father God, that hopelessness she feels, Father God, will be filled with hope in Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father, for the victories and all the testimonies that these tests are going to turn into. We thank you and we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Hi, DAB family. I was wondering if you could please pray for me and my relationship with my young adult son. He's 22, and he got his own place about a year ago with his girlfriend. I helped him move in. You know, I bought them a sofa, and I was trying to just, you know, got him a bunch of groceries. And I was a little upset that he moved out, but I understood because we were living with his grandmother, and his grandmother and grandfather have a pretty volatile relationship. They are separated but never got divorced. And, you know, my father was always very verbally abusive. And he was that way with my son and everyone in the family. And my son got tired of, you know, being there. We had a family farm and land. And when my son would work on a car or something like that, my dad would always yell at him and everything. So, you know, Josh got tired of that. And I was very, very thankful in a way that he did get his own place. I thought a healing process would start. But then something happened about 6 months ago, and Josh just totally stopped talking to me. And I've been heartbroken over it. And I've been taking it to the Lord, you know, every day. And I am a new Christian, you know, I'm fairly new Christian. So Josh, you know, he may not know who I am now in Christ, but years ago I suffered from a lot of dissociation and PTSD because of trauma. But I've healed tremendously, thank God. But I just pray that the Lord will work for healing to occur between me and my son. I love him so much. He's my youngest, and you know, my baby, and I care about him, and I'm always praying that he, you know, he gets saved and that there's healing. So please, DAB family, I urge you to pray for.
Hey, DAB family, this is Byron out in Florida. I could use your prayers. My beloved wife has been having panic attacks lately. It's just started up over the last few weeks, and it's really painful for her, of course, and difficult for me as well to see and to know what to do. I feel like the Lord is doing some things, maybe to move us to another level in our family's walk, and that these things are starting to poke up as a result because, you know, we're being opposed against that growth. And I just ask for you guys to pray against the evil spirits in their lives, for strength for my wife, who's the strongest person I know. She needs more. And wisdom for me on how to properly support her in those difficult times, because I really don't always know what to do. I'm not worried. God has got us, and we're going to be all right. But whatever he has for us is going to be activated by prayer. So I appreciate you guys joining hands with me and my family for protection, for wisdom, for strength, and just for an abundance of love to be felt. Love you guys.
Hi, DAB. My name's Madison, and I have just been feeling this nudge to share my testimony because it's truly amazing. I've been hearing a lot of calls from people who feel a stirring from the Lord, particularly around giving up alcohol. And about 3 months ago, I was also one of those callers. I don't know if it made it, but I called in and confessed that I was feeling the Lord nudging me to give up alcohol. And I confessed that at that time, I didn't feel that I was able to. I didn't trust that the Lord could replace what alcohol made me feel with something better. To make a long story short, the Lord asked me to give up hard alcohol during Lent. And then I went to a Brandon Lake concert and had prayer over addiction. And my desire for alcohol completely and totally broke. I grew up being told that alcoholism is an allergy of the body and a disease of the mind. And the Lord is faithfully, truly healing both. I remember hearing testimonies like this, and it would stir something in my soul, and it didn't feel good. But now I just can't help but share. And I want to let anyone who's listening know that I can testify that what God wants to give you in exchange for alcohol is so, so good. I have never felt better, more pure, or more whole. God bless you.